She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody, and Happy New Year. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, and for this next year, we won't tell you what to think. We just want you to think. Thanks for being a part of our world. I really do wish you, on behalf of the entire Mrs. Green team, happy, blessed, and wonderful New Year of 2013, and a huge heartfelt thanks to everybody for being a part of our world. We're grateful to all of you, and we look forward to bringing you more amazing guests in 2013 to keep you informed about what's going on in our world with great companies and great people and wonderful events, all working toward preservation of this wonderful planet of ours. The show today is sponsored by Chapman Tucson, our first show of 2013, and we thank them for their ongoing support. And we are thrilled, and I mean over the top thrilled, and when you hear how this story unfolds, to have as our first guest of 2013, Laurel Moffitt from Outreach Communication for Southwest Airlines. Laurel, thanks so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to join us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, and I just have to do a few important announcements that I will fly through, no pun intended, to get to a lot of the unbelievable initiatives that I think will really delight and inform our listeners about Southwest Airlines and their leadership and sustainability. So please remember that Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 radio network back east, where my shows can be heard every Monday and Tuesday at dreamvisionsradio.com on Mondays and Tuesdays. Check them out. And don't forget to join me here every Saturday at noon Arizona time, mrsgreensworld.com. If you miss the show, you can listen on your iPhone or Droid. If you have any problems with that, we have instructions on our website because there are technically challenged people in the world like me. And my website also has connections to the whole social media world for Mrs. Green, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I don't think I've ever interviewed a guest who's more familiar with those than that would be one Laurel Moffitt, because I heard you present on what a massive undertaking that is for Southwest. And then just one quick shout out about one of our national sponsors, Ecobella. And again, they are an outstanding example of a corporation committed to sustainability at every level. They sell safe, eco-friendly makeup and skincare products in about 5,000 locations throughout the U.S. and Canada. You can check them out online at Ecobella, that's with 2Cs.com. Their products, you don't have to worry about it. I'm endorsing them, which means you really don't have to worry about it. I've gone down the research rabbit hole. Their products are safe for your body, they're safe for the environment, and they're affordable. I use their skincare line, and it dawned on me that one aspect I haven't highlighted on the show is that because their products are such high quality and so concentrated, you hardly have to use any amount at all every day in your regime, which in fact results in less waste for the planet. They've thought about everything. They never test on animals. They give back. They are also national leaders in supporting animal rights. Again, check them out at ecobella.com. We thank them for their support. So Laurel, that's, you know, I sound kind of breathless because I'm always so excited. And in this particular case, it's so heartfelt and serendipitous because of how things unfolded from when the time we first booked you as a guest, and unfortunately the most tragic event, one of them in our country's history, the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. Our last show that I recorded was with Jeanette Marais and Dave Sethi from the Ben's Bells Project, and we were talking about intentional acts of kindness and how significant they can be in the healing process. And everyone in the country and probably in the world wants to help Newtown heal in the best ways that we can. So let's get on to the first part of the story, which I think is great to start off with for the new year. Because of your hard work and that of Kelly King on the Mrs. Green team, Southwest Airlines has agreed to fly 8 people from Tucson to Newtown to hang 1,000 bells on January 8th, which is a very important day for Tucson. Also, it's the anniversary of another tragic shooting. It's the 2-year anniversary that involved Gabrielle Giffords and many other special people from our community, and it's a day we'll never forget here. So why don't you set the stage for all that, how all that unfolded, Laurel, and thank you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Kelly and I have been talking about what we're doing right now in this interview, and right before the holidays came, Kelly reached out and said, you know, we're very much looking forward to your interview, but I have something else to see if it would be possible at all. And, you know, here at Southwest, you know, being on the outreach team, I have sat in between my coworkers having to talk to these families that were impacted by this shooting and listen to them sob in between phone calls of helping arrange travel to send these families to attend the funerals of these children. So, you know, here at Southwest, you know, all the way here in Dallas at headquarters, we were absolutely, you know, mourning along with the nation and doing what we could do to provide travel assistance to bring these families together. And so when Kelly reached out, just hearing the mission of Ben's Bells, you know, and kind of how it resonated there in Tucson, like you mentioned, the anniversary of the shooting there, to be able to bring a program that is dedicated to focusing on kindness, you know, it just really touched my heart. And I thought, you know, what a wonderful opportunity for us to help give back in a way. You know, our hearts certainly went out to the city when it happened, and, you know, we're still, you know, standing ready to help with these needs as they're coming in, and this is just one of those unique opportunities. So if you can imagine, at Southwest, we get about 20,000 charitable requests every year, and this one, you know, we definitely tried to rush and just really find a way to give back to this community in Connecticut. So
you definitely did find a way and cut through a lot to make it happen in what I would think is a really short turnaround time for decision making with a major corporation.
Absolutely. I mean, we usually say, you know, just because of the sheer number of requests that we receive, give us, you know, 6 to 8 weeks before an event, or, you know, what you're asking for your request to allow us to process, because we do receive so many. Obviously, with this, you know, tragic event that happened, we wanted to act as quickly as possible. So even with folks out, my wonderful team, you know, we met, we decided, you know, this made so much sense and was such a unique way for us to help give back, you know, bringing Tucson all the way to Newtown. So, and to help spread that kindness in a city that really needs it the most right now.
And, you know, I don't know how, if you've had any communication directly with Jeanette, but their philosophy to me was so impressive when they came on the show, because, you know, Kelly and I talked. Kelly has children that are in preschool. I'm a grandmom. I have children of my own. So it doesn't matter who you are, it touched you. But what Jeanette said, they're not going back as the grand champions of intentional kindness and healing. They want to go in and very quietly, very lovingly hang 1,000 bells. And I took my grandchildren, my whole family, my husband and I, and some friends from the Mrs. Green team, and we went and painted bells at Ben's Bells, which is, we knew that there was a massive call, because getting it's not a bell. It's a lot of ceramics, and at the bottom is a bell, you know, commemorating Ben's tragic death when he was 3 and a half. But Jeanette is handling it in such a way that, to me, honors the family's privacy, and you're being a part of it. It just, I mean, there were a lot of tears around here when that phone call came and you text Kelly. I can tell you that. Our community is appreciative of what you're doing.
Yeah, I have had the absolute privilege of speaking with Jeanette, and, you know, and just this week we've been helping them get their reservations booked and getting them ready to head that way on Sunday. So, you know, it's truly humbling for me to speak with her and just learning more about what her organization stands for. And like you said, what they are so lovingly and quietly trying to do to make such a big impact.
I know. It's great. I mean, around here, it's, you know, Tucson is a city of a million. But if you find a bell, you want everybody to know about it. It's like, I found a Ben's Bells. And there's just a magic that goes with the touchstone of healing that all that implies. So let's go on a little bit. And I think we should fill in a little bit of a blank. I heard you speak at the Arizona Inn here last fall. And I was so impressed by your presentation that I got your information and I gave it to Kelly and she followed up. And the show was scheduled several months out. So to me, the serendipity of all of it working, that we had a contact, and my call to action for people is just show up in the way that you can best show up and connect. I mean, it was all about connection in this case. And thank you for being the part that you played in that. So let's talk about Southwest. And I don't want to ever be pithy on the show, but we personally love flying Southwest. We have laughed out loud. You have some of the funnest, corny, sometimes belting out in song. We love corny. And you're sitting there where you're like trying not to look at the person next to you because you want to read. And somebody belts out an outrageous, hysterical song. And then everybody on the plane is friendly. So the corporate culture, talk about your job as an outreach, you know, what you do for Southwest Outreach Communication. And to me, this exemplifies the entire experience of Southwest, not just when you're on the airplane, but your corporate stewardship, your environmental stewardship. It's all about connection from the inside out. So tell us what you do, and then we'll talk about you being a leader in the industry. Many, many topics to cover.
Absolutely. Well, I, you know, when I started at Southwest, I was actually on our PR team. So I was fortunate enough to, you know, work on all different types of events and communication, obviously reaching our customers and stakeholders, but also, you know, nurturing our employees and educating them on all the fun and exciting things and changes that Southwest has gone through recently. And, you know, if you look at Southwest, you know, we may be an airline, but we do some of our best work on the ground. And that's our employees just leading with their servants' hearts and giving back. And, you know, just take this Newtown tragedy, for example. I mean, our, you know, phones are ringing off the hook, emails are coming in, employees are just reaching out. How can I help? What can I do? And that's with anything that's happened. Our employees are just so quick to stop and take all the focus away from anything going on in their lives and just how can they give back and help others and make a positive difference. So the decision was made about a year ago to really amp up and focus on talking about all the good works that Southwest does, how we are invested in our communities, how we want to be the hometown carrier where we fly. And, you know, like I said, you know, we're an airline, but we do some of our best work on the ground. So how our employees are giving back in all of their unique ways and all of the communities that we serve across the nation. So basically my role is, you know, kind of a PR function, but talking about all of our good work. So, you know, communication and events and media to really bring to light the big heart that Southwest has, and how our employees just do things in their communities that really set their hearts on fire.
So what do you do? I mean, this is not on the agenda, but I'll never put you on the spot. In terms of even the vetting process, not everybody is friendly. Not everybody on the planet is designed to be an extrovert or outgoing or put a smile on their face. In terms of the vetting process, I mean, I'm trying hard to think if I've ever had a negative experience on Southwest, and maybe I have in the years that I've been flying. But what do you do in terms of literally the vetting process? You can't just say to somebody, well, are you friendly and outgoing? How do you start there? You can't just say, oh, yeah, tell us a joke and we'll see how it flies. What do you do to get that many fun, friendly, outrageously you know, entertaining people? There are lots of them.
Well, I mean, I think it just goes back to our co-founder, Herb Kelleher, and it goes back to who we call the heart of our airline, our president emeritus, Colleen Barrett, and just the foundation that they laid for us. And, you know, one of the things that Colleen Barrett always says is, you know, we are in the customer service industry. We just happen to fly planes.
I love it.
That's always been really important. And I mean, just to throw, you know, a statistic out there, if you look at the number of resumes that we receive each year and the number of employees we actually hire, it is more difficult to get a job at Southwest than it is to get into Harvard.
Oh my gosh. I love that statistic. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Okay.
And if, I mean, me personally, I was an internal transfer to our communication departments. I already work for Southwest. And I went through 5 interviews.
Oh my gosh.
And I already work for the company. So it's very, they're looking for the right person. And we've always kind of had the mentality of, you know, a lot of people have a lot of similar skills. But sometimes it's more about finding the right person that really resonates well with the team, just really creating that positive culture, and we can teach them all the stuff later that we need them to know to do
right,
their job.
Right. I'm sure that I want to talk about that a little bit later in the interview. But one of the things that I also love about Southwest is that the employees come in every color, shape, and size. And I know that might sound corny, but they're not all perfectly coiffed, you know, size 2, thin, make sure they got all their makeup on. They're people that we can all relate to. And that's part of what I love. It's like you've got it going on in terms of the people industry because they are us. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, and if you think about that, that's our customer base. You know, we serve more than 100,000 customers a year. And they're all diverse and unique in all of their ways. And so are our employees. So, you know, we hope that an interaction with any of our employees, that they're going to find somebody that they can relate to. So we don't want to just be the person that checks your bag and at the ticket counter. We want to be, you know, provide that personal service, give you a smile. And I mean, I can think of, you know, thousands of stories that we've heard from customers. You know, one in particular is a guy was unfortunately traveling because his son had been killed in action. And when he walked up to the ticket counter, he never once told the agent why he was traveling. And the agent just looked at him and felt something.
Oh my gosh.
A sadness. And he never once asked him what's wrong. He just looked at him and he said, "Sir, I'm feeling something from you, and I want to ask if it's okay if I give you a hug." And he let him, you know, and the customer wrote in and said, "You know, we never had a conversation about why I was traveling, but at a time that I needed a hug the most, somebody who did not even know me or know what I was going through felt what I was feeling and offered that." So that's just something you can't look for in a resume, you can't look for in a job requirement. It's just we hire for attitude, and we look for employees that have that fun-loving attitude and their servant's heart.
And it works. You know, I can't believe of all the examples you could tell me, and I know that you have thousands, that you would talk about that one in particular, because that's exactly what Jeanette Mare from Ben's Bells talks about in terms of intentional acts of kindness. And that when she was going through the grieving process of losing Ben, any little thing like that, someone giving you a hug, someone making eye contact, someone just going out of their comfort zone if they bump your cart in the grocery store and say, "Oh, I'm sorry." So that is, you know, it's like we couldn't have scripted this better in terms of you're picking an example of what your company does to connect to people. So I applaud that. Now, I've been talking about having you on the show a lot because there's a lot of buzz going on in Tucson about the whole Ben's Bells thing. We're a big city with a small town feel. I can assure you that you don't ever want to burn a bridge. That goes around pretty fast too. But one of the things that I think is really, it's a conundrum. I'm Mrs. Green. I try to engage in as many environmentally sound practices as I can. And I want to fly, and I'm going to fly. And it's not necessarily, when you look at the big picture, it's an industry with lots of challenges in terms of environmental impact. So let's start with one before we have to go to a break. Talk about your recycling efforts. I mean, plastic cups, the newspapers, all of the recycling. What is Southwest doing to be leaders in the industry in terms of recycling? It's huge.
Well, you know, and it's really successful because of our employees. You know, we work with Republic Services as far as the logistics of getting the recycling from our aircraft out of the landfills and to be recycled. But our, you know, our flight attendants, when you fly, you're hearing them say, you know, Southwest tries every way it can to save the planet and be green. So please pass, you know, your aluminum cans and your newspapers to the aisle and we'll pick those up and recycle them. So, you know, we at Southwest, especially here in communication, you know, it's important for us to really educate our employees and help them understand the why behind it and why it's important. You know, when we released our 2011 One Report earlier this year, you know, one way that we kind of communicated the impact that we were making was, of course, relating it back to our planes. So if you look at last year and the amount of material that we were able to divert from the landfills and into recycling facilities with our it's a commingled recycling program.
And I think that we should tell people what that is, because that's really important. You selected Republic Services because of that very reason, that they would take the commingled waste stream and, you know, just instead of just saying, oh, take aluminum or sort it all out, which is then, you know, it's a cost.
Exactly. And so with the commingled recycling program that Republic helps us with, I mean, think about Southwest. We turn those planes fast. We were built on a 10-minute turn, and obviously we've grown, and with more FAA regulations, we can't turn it in 10 minutes, but it's about 25. You know, we don't have time to be able to sort through that, either on the plane or when provisioning picks it up. Plus, we appreciate our employees supporting the program, so we want to make it as easy on them as possible so they can get back to their work and being safe and delivering that great service to our customers. So, you know, it's been wonderful for us to be able to do that. And in fact, the amount of money that we are getting in rebates from our recycling, I think any company would hope to just break even.
Let's talk about that when we come back. We have to go to a short break. We are talking with Laurel Moffitt from Outreach Communication for Southwest Airlines. Please stay here with us.
She's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you, and you want to spend eternity with her. She deserves nothing less than the best, an Abbott Taylor original. A diamond engagement ring as exceptional as she is that will make her eyes sparkle every time she sees it. Because we design and make our own jewelry, we can create something wonderful for every budget. I'm Abbott Taylor. I'd like to invite you to come see what Abbott Taylor Jewelers has waiting for you. With 35 years and thousands of original jewelry designs, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. We're proud to say using recycled gold, we have saved over 100 million pounds of toxic waste from this planet. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
In the mid-Tucson summer, you would expect it to be over 100 degrees. But deep beneath the University of Arizona's compost heap, temperatures can hit 160. Started by the Compost Cats student group, the U of A Compost Project is collecting tons of waste from around campus and keeping it out of landfills. Gathering garbage and converting it into a useful product for the community? Now that's a hot idea indeed. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some exciting news. The all-new 2013 Honda Accord is here. It's got a new level of sophistication. It's an efficiency expert, and when you drive one, you can discover how EcoAssist can help you increase your fuel efficiency. For a record 26th time, the Honda Accord has been named to Car and Driver's esteemed 10 Best list. To check them out, visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street. They have a great selection of 2013 Accords in stock right now.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill, but I have a bigger reason to give. A while back, I lost my job and I couldn't even support my family. A lot of people don't know Goodwill can help you find a job. But that's what they did for me. I've had this job for 7 years, and I love going to work. You know how they say Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill needs your donations now more than ever. Please donate today.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to Our guest today is Laurel Moffitt, Outreach Communications from Southwest Airlines. They are a leader in terms of taking care of our planet. If you want more information and you would like to find an easy read about what they're doing, you can visit southwestonereport.com. And one of the quotes I wrote down, Laurel, I love it because, again, it's like it's so reflective of who you are in terms of the people's airline. It's a quote, "As the hometown carrier that cares, we believe it's our responsibility to protect our planet and its natural resources." And you're putting that into action. So right before the break, we were talking about the recycling efforts. And I want to go back to that because you were just about to get to that there's a rebate or an economic incentive on your end as well, because everybody is looking to buy materials because of how much the natural resources that are available are shrinking. So can we just continue on with that, your major efforts and how it's turning into something good for Southwest as well?
Absolutely. So, you know, we've had our commingled recycling program in place since 2008. And in this last year, we were able to not only break even with our waste cost and the rebates that we were receiving, but actually make a little bit of revenue. And so that money, what we're doing is, you know, here at Southwest, we have a green team. And so we're able to take that money and fund future environmental initiatives. So we're very excited about that not only are we, affecting our bottom line positively, but it's enabling us to investigate new opportunities.
So I love it's the triple bottom line. It's written about a lot by sustainability experts who arguably say you cannot find a downside to do this. There are economic incentives, and I totally am on board with that. You can be green and make green and also be a leader for the planet. So here's just more evidence. I'll certainly put that when I do the blog about this show. Okay, let's move inside, because you told me when I called you earlier about the evolution, so to speak, of your interiors of the plane and what that's all about. Because again, it's another example of the triple bottom line. So just go and tell us about your green plane experiment and how that's unfolded.
Sure. Well, you know, our goal with all of this, in 2009, we launched our green plane just to start testing, you know, what are the latest sustainable products out there to see how they would do on our aircraft. For us, we were setting out to, you know, begin a new era of sustainable cabins, because there really isn't that out there as far as the interior with the seat and all of that. So with us, our goal, obviously, we wanted to have sustainable elements and recycled materials on our plane, but we also wanted to enhance customer comfort. So we didn't want to sacrifice the customer experience while doing this as well. We basically did the test in 2009. We tested two different types of seat covers. And we tested carpet that was laid in squares. So formerly with our old interior, if you had to remove a piece of the carpet, you had to pull the entire carpet up for the whole plane. So finding ways that we can reduce waste and using these more sustainable products. So in January of last year, we unveiled our new Evolve interior. And, you know, just kind of name a few things. The seats, they're made from eco-friendly products. It's a lower profile seat, so it actually weighs less at about 6 pounds a seat.
That's huge.
Which is huge. Because if you look at how much we can save in emissions, it's so extensive. And so not only that, so the seat cover, it's made with basically an E-lever. So it's a higher performance, more eco-friendly technology used in the seat cover. And it's made from recycled materials that car makers use for their leather. So there's a repurpose there. If you look at our plane, we thought, okay, you know, we have the seat frames there. Is there a way that we can get a better, more sustainable seat cover and not have to redo all of the seat frames, which we were able to do? So we didn't have to, you know, throw out all of that metal that built our seat. And then, like I mentioned as well, just another one was the carpet. So moving from the carpet being laid in one single piece to have the squares put down, which reduces on labor from an employee perspective, and just material costs in general. So that was great for us. So all of this, you know, it's got the sustainable products on there with the Evolve interior. And we were able, based on tests that we heard from our customers and some of our most frequent travelers, that it was more comfortable. So it was a win-win from an environmental perspective and a win-win for our customers to have that enhanced comfort when they're flying with us.
And I don't think you mentioned it, and I have been listening intently. You added 6 more seats without compromising the integrity of the travel experience for the consumer, the customer, which I think is awesome. You didn't squash more people in one plane.
Right. So, you know, going into this, we never had any intention of adding a row, but once we had, you know, all the dimensions and design laid out with the lower profile seat, we realized that we had a lot more space. And so we were able to add in an extra row, maintaining a customer's personal space, as in our old interior. And the really neat part of the whole thing was, since the seat's actually lighter now, even adding that extra row of seats, the plane is actually 635 pounds lighter than what it was before.
And so that matters so much. Yes.
Right.
Yes, that really matters so much. And there's just, I mean, when I was doing the research for this show, which has been ongoing for me, I always think of the massive amount of effort it takes, because you're not in a building or, you know, one location. It's a massively spread out company that has all of these stewardship practices and getting the word out. So another area, idle speeds. Like if everybody in the United States just turned off their cars at a 2-minute red light, the amount of carbon emissions that could be reduced is mind-boggling. And when you're waiting for a train, I just see people park in the parking lot and they leave their car running. And I'm like, people, stop it. That's carbon emissions. Just don't do that. And I don't want to be the people that, you know, the person that people hide from. Oh, here she comes. But talk about a little bit about even the ground idle speeds. I mean, you've looked at everything and we'll talk about more, but you have to continue efforts to make adjustments to the grounds, to the idle speeds.
Right. I mean, you know, anyway, obviously as an airline, it's hard to be green, but it is our, we are very thoughtful and intentional with finding any ways that we can be more environmentally responsible, even with our business model and the fact that we're an airline, and how we can reduce our impact. So idle speeds are one, and it's so wonderful because our pilots are so much, you know, asking, can we turn one engine off when we're taxiing? You know, so they're reaching out to us to find more ways to save fuel, because at the end of the day, they know it's their profit sharing. It enables Southwest to have a better bottom line and be more successful, which just means we can grow and fly more places in the future. So idle speeds is one. Another is our ground support equipment, and those basically using a cleaner burning fuel.
That's huge. You really should talk about that in detail. I mean, that's, to me, one of the highlights of my research.
And, you know, that's something that we've been doing over time to convert. You know, if you think about all the tugs that take your bags to the plane that they need to be on, so they're there, that's important for us, knowing that, you know, in all of the nearly 80 cities that we serve, that we are doing our part on the ground to reduce that fuel consumption.
And so using
and so
a different,
actually,
all different models.
Every city that we're opening at this point, we are opening them with these new ground support electric equipment. And so that really helps us reduce our impacts moving forward as we start opening new cities.
And it's
that's just another way that we can help out on the ground.
Okay, and what about, I mean, I think you're doing a fair amount of retrofitting for diesel, and that's another one that is just a huge step forward. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I mean, just, you know, any way that we can find to reduce and move towards to diesel and better burning fuels that reduce emissions, we're always investigating those ways and kind of laying the foundation of and setting the example of what other airlines are trying to do. Because obviously there is an investment up front, but it's so worth it in the end, in the long run, because we are saving costs while also reducing our impact on the environment and reducing our energy consumption.
You know, you said earlier about the turnaround time. So we took my grandchildren to the airport on Sunday to flying Southwest, and the plane came in, and I just said to my husband, they're never going to be able to turn this around so that they leave on time. And guess what? How did they do it? I was cracking up laughing. I went, yep, they did. They're in and out in 10 minutes. So one of the things that I found in this wonderful One report is why I'm like, gate electrification? You've got to be kidding me. How can that help? And it's, I love numbers. So just that alone, from what the report says, saves 46,000 gallons of fuel in one day. So I'm like amping that up for the numbers, because all of that matters and is part of the environmentally aware system. It's like, I don't think a lot of people are thinking about gate electrification when they're flying. Do you?
I don't think they do. I think they think about the big airplane that they're on.
Yes.
So, you know, again, for us to find, obviously to find ways to modernize our fleet with things like the Evolve Interior, and I'm sure you saw in there we have winglets installed on our planes. If you look out the window and you see the little winglet that sticks up on the end of the wing, that helps us save. Our annual fuel savings with that is more than 6 million gallons. So just those little winglets save us that much fuel every year. That's how much it helps us. So
can I just be on air, embarrass myself? When I was reading the research and I saw winglets, I kind of scanned over that and I thought, it must be those little wings they give to kids when they're flying. And then I read a lot deeper and it's like, holy smokes. And I will be, of course, now looking for the winglets, and I just can't believe it, saving that much fuel consumption. I think I read something where it's close to, I don't know, 2.5-3% of your fuel consumption by that addition alone.
Yes. And so, I mean, again, just as you and I are talking, it's more than just what we can do to make our fleet more efficient. And, you know, I mentioned Evolve. Another example, we are bringing in the 737-800 aircraft. And that's a lot. It has a better engine. The 737 MAX, which we are the launch customer for, has a much better engine that burns less fuel and less emissions. But, you know, like we've been talking about on the ground with our commingled recycling program, in 2011, we diverted more than 2,600 tons, which is the weight of 61 of our planes. So if that helps you picture that, that's a lot. All the way down to our ground support equipment and all of those things that we can electrify and save on gas.
And you hit another one that's one of my favorite topics to talk about. One of my favorite topics for content for the show is water. It's our most precious resource in many places throughout our own country and throughout the world. The access to clean water is challenging, if at all possible. So you do the engine wash. And I think people that are listening want to know about things like this, that you're reusing, recycling the water so that you get another wash out of it, which is a huge amount. When you think about washing a plane, it boggles my mind.
Absolutely. And for our favorite aviation geeks out there, we actually did a video on our engine washing process, and it is one of our top viewed videos on our YouTube channel with millions of views. So I never knew that somebody would be so interested to see what it was like to wash one of our engines, but there is that interest out there.
They will. And you can find the link on, you know, like I said, I want to keep remembering it and mentioning it so that people who just tuned in might not have heard SouthwestOneReport.com, and the video is right there in that report, and it's fun. I didn't watch the whole thing because I didn't have time, but that's amazing. Okay, so on the ground, we've covered a lot of that. The engine wash, I think that's really important, the support equipment, and then planning. I mean, that is the most efficiency in the planning process. You just want to give a little bit talking about that, because that does impact fuel savings. It impacts loading for the efficiency of bag removal on and off. Nobody wants to wait for their bags. It just cracks me up because airports can bring the worst out in people. So talk about the load planning.
Well, you know, I think we recognize that, you know, we're not like most carriers where we are hub and spoke. We are a point-to-point carrier, and we recognize that, you know, if it's Amarillo, a small station, if it's one of our larger stations like, you know, Las Vegas, Denver, Phoenix, Baltimore, to a mid-sized station like San Antonio, there is no cookie-cutter approach to all of our cities that we serve. And so we're always looking for the most efficient way, whether it's how to get transfer bags for customers who are connecting, you know, to how our ground support equipment works, to working with the airports on other ways we can electrify the operation. So, you know, we actually have a department that works on this planning, works with our frontline employees, works with the airports to find out what is the best solution for each of our locations. So recognizing that there isn't just one broad approach that we can apply to all.
And one of the things I've noticed throughout the conversation that is so important to me, and it is the epitome of the Ben Bell story and connecting them with you and so many examples in the community, you talk a lot about your partners. You talk about Republic, and you talk about you see your employees as partners in making this happen. Is that a fair conclusion to reach?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, we would not have seen the success in the last four decades that we've seen without our employees. They are our greatest asset by far. And, you know, environmental is just another check that we would not be successful in this area without our employees being behind it and understanding why it's important, not only for the company and the industry, but just bigger picture for the planet as a whole. And for them, for their well-being as well. And we really empower our employees to get involved and to do what sets their heart on fire. So having them really play a part in the success and updating them and letting them know how they are, their one action. You know, if you look at Southwest, we have, with the acquisition of AirTran, 45,000 employees. So knowing number, you know, 55 out of 45,000, your actions matter.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. That's a great note on which to come back. We're talking to Laurel Moffitt, Outreach Communications from Southwest Airlines. Stay here with us.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected Automotive Magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
Do you dare to share? In 2009, the University of Arizona started its car sharing program. Today, students, faculty, and staff have access to a shared fleet of cars that includes 7 hybrids and even the zero emissions Nissan Leaf. Not only does car sharing give the campus community wheels, but it takes all those extra cars off the road too. Now that greens things up, doesn't it? The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Habitat for Humanity's Havistar is changing the world. By selling new and used building and home improvement materials to the public, the Havistar is diverting more than 250 tons from the landfill each year. To donate, call 520-889-7200. Stop by and shop today. The Havistar is located at 935 West Grant Road. Proceeds from all the sales go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson. For more information, go to habitattucson.org or call 520-889-7200.
The boys are back in town, boys are back.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And our guest today, Laurel Moffitt from Outreach Communication for Southwest Airlines, is certainly giving us a lot to think about. Laurel, thanks so much for being on the show. And as I said, time is flying. So we ended on the before the break about the importance of engagement of employees, because I'm a firm believer that it can't be a top-down mandate. You have to get buy-in or all of this would be ineffective. So talk a little bit in more detail about, with 45,000 employees and major, locations and different environments, how do you approach the process of actual training and engagement and involvement with the policies that you're implementing and the leadership that you're exemplifying?
Absolutely. Well, I mentioned earlier that we have a green team here at headquarters that represents the majority of our departments here. But we also have a massive force of green ambassadors at all of our locations. So they're kind of like the local green heart, if you will, at their
Love that.
In their city. And they really are there because they're in this role because they absolutely have a passion to protect our planet, and they're there to encourage their cohorts to do the same. And it goes further than just, on board our aircraft or at the airport. We want to encourage this behavior when they're at home. And so one of the things that we have been doing for quite a while is we have what we call Green Tuesday blog posts that goes up, obviously, on Tuesday, but it's tips to share with our employees on how they can live green and be green, whether they're at home or work, and just how they can encourage others and share that type of information.
I love it. Is that just
really
for your employees?
To promote that with our employees.
Oh my gosh, is that just for employees? Is that an internal communication?
That's an internal communication, but we actually have we kind of basically tweak it a little bit if there is an employee message in there. And we post it on our Nuts About Southwest blog on blogsouthwest.com every Tuesday as well. And it's called Going Green. So we want to share with our customers what Southwest is doing to be green, but we also want to share those same tips that we share with our employees to encourage them, bigger picture, to make a difference in the world and be green.
And to me, one of the things I'd like to just kind of go into the realm of social media a little bit and connecting with people, meeting people where they are. How important and how much emphasis are you putting on the initiatives to let people know, let the public know what your environmental stewardship, initiatives are, and that you are leaders in the industry? Because from where I sit, people really do care about that more and more and more. We all have a conscience, and it's really igniting in a very wonderful way. So how important do you think it is for Southwest to get that communication out to the people who fly Southwest?
It's absolutely important because, when customers are deciding who they want to fly, obviously they're looking for value and that we fly where they want to fly, but they're looking at that citizenship piece as well. And, I think you would agree if you're looking at a company, you want to know that they're doing good works and they're focused and dedicated to things that resonate and are important with you as well. So we know a lot of our customers are focused on reducing their impact on the planet. And so it's very important for us to communicate all of our green initiatives and all the different ways, whether it's on our plane, on the ground, or our employees giving back in their communities, whether, planting trees or anything like that, or facilitating recycling at their location. We want our customers to know that we care.
And I think it matters more and more. I agree.
Yes.
You know how you talked about the people that will look at how the plane is washed? And they care enough to click on that and to watch the video. Well, to me, I agree with you, and maybe it's the slanted Mrs. Green's World approach because I live in this world of sustainability. I really do believe from the research I've done, people do care, and they are going to make a greener choice if there's an opportunity to do it. And you don't have the highest fare to say, oh, we're doing that because we have all these sustainability issues, efforts. It makes a difference because it's our bottom line from our families and companies as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's just so important. Obviously, we invest a lot of education and time with our employees, but we also do it with our customers. And in the blog post I mentioned we do every Tuesday, Going Green, you know, we always at the very end always ask, you know, what are you doing to be green, whether it's at home or work? Please share your tips below. And so a lot of the times the blog posts that we do are, you know, thanks to so-and-so customer from the city for sharing this tip. So it's a great way for us to engage with our customers, whether it's on the blog or on Twitter, Facebook, or we're linking to our Going Green blog and asking them in the comments below to share their tips. And it's wonderful to see when you post something, for example, on Facebook, and within seconds you're seeing customers engage and tell us what they're doing to be green at home and at work.
And you so have an engaged community. And believe me, I know the difference between, you know, there's 170,000 followers on a website and there's two posts a week versus, I don't even know what your current number of followers are on Facebook, but I know it's a really big number. Let's go back to the beginning of the show when you talked about how many requests you get a year, how you are, of course, inundated with requests for fundraisers and nonprofits and personal stories. How do you decide? What is the process for that? I mean, I'm glad I'm not in any of those decision-making seats, because I'm sure there are many more that you have to say no to than you can, you know, economically, feasibly say yes to.
Right. And honestly, that's probably why they let me do the communication, not make the decisions, because I don't know how I could possibly say no. So they won't even let me have access to the system, which is probably good. But yes, I mean, we get probably about 20,000 a year. And like you said, how do you make a decision? And it is tough. But, you know, obviously we're looking to help nonprofits that are 501c3, and we're looking to see, you know, there's obviously things important to every company, and some of our pillars that we focus on are obviously green. We focus on families facing serious illness.
Right.
A program we have is Medical Transportation Grant Program, where we give our tickets to hospitals and let them, you know, choose patients that they're able to fly in so they can get the treatment they need. You know, Ronald McDonald House is one of our primary charities, and our employees are always there, you know, giving their love and serving those sweet families dinners. So that's an important pillar for us. Disaster is another one. So, example, the Connecticut situation, so that fell under that pillar for us. We're a national sponsor of Red Cross.
Oh my gosh.
So those different pillars that are important to us, we're looking to see if it kind of resonates with Southwest values and what's meaningful to our employees. And if they saw that we approved that, they would say, that's another reason why I'm proud to work for this company.
To work for Southwest, yeah.
So we're looking for those things that resonate with us, whether it's environmental, you know, disaster-related, families facing serious illness. Those types of things are ones that we're looking for.
And I have to tell you that it's just amazingly impressive to me that given all of your areas of responsibility, you know so much about the details of the environmental initiatives. And I'm really impressed with that, because you have a broad scope that you have to be responsible for. So I want to on air applaud you for that. And then which kind of segues to one of the things I loved about your presentation at the Arizona Inn was how you talked about, I don't want to call it spin control, but it does matter, because there's always that irate employee consumer that no matter what you do, you know, you can pick them out. I was talking about it this morning with someone from the Botanical Gardens here. There's always that one person that no matter what you do, they're going to not be happy. And then there are those that are mostly happy, but have legitimate, you know, complaints or issues. So what do you do from outreach communication to either, you know, put that up, expose it? You don't try to cover it up. And I love that.
Yeah, I think to us, transparency is one of the most important things, and just vital to, you know, the success, whether it's social media or our employees interacting with the customer. But I think we listen before we ever engage. And sometimes that's all somebody wants. They want to be acknowledged and they want to know you care. And There is obviously, a policy handbook on how to handle situations, but that's not how our employees think. It's not black and white, and we joke all the time about how all we do is just think in the gray, because we know that every customer situation or employee situation is not the same, and you can't just apply what it says on page 5 of the rule book to do, but it needs to be thoughtful and tailored and understanding to that specific person's, needs, concerns, questions, whatever it is.
And you have, to me, it is the transparency, and it's also the authentic response, which you've certainly addressed. What about, I love to inject some just pure fun in the show. Do you have any fun stories that you can think of that you'd like to share? Because to me, that's like sustainability for the soul, or some outrageous thing that you can feel comfortable sharing about your experience in your position.
I think being in my position, it has just been more heartwarming. I think I've cried more good tears since I've been on this team than any other position I've been in. And it's wonderful because it's all about people and it's all about helping. And that is just so powerful to me. So I think one recent one, other than Ben's Bells, that just really touched my heart was, with Hurricane Sandy and how that devastated the Northeast. And the New Orleans firemen reached out to Southwest, and one of the captains wrote in and said, "I'm asking if you can help us send our firemen up to New York to help with the recovery." And they said, "We love Southwest, and if you say no, we're not contacting any other airline. We're just going to get in our fire truck and drive up to the Northeast." So.
That gives you goosebumps, green goosebumps. That's a great story.
It really does. And, what we learned, honestly, I think the New Orleans firemen are probably a group of men that, seeing their big hearts and seeing how similar that is to the Southwest servant's heart was just so rewarding and honestly life-changing to see what they did up there. And knowing that there's this brotherhood that I learned about with the New York firemen and the New Orleans firemen that when 9/11 happened, they had a lot of help at the time that the New Orleans Fire Department reached out and they said, "We need people to go to fallen firefighters' funerals." So these New Orleans firemen drove all the way up to New York just to attend funerals and show their solidarity and support that way. And then when Katrina happened, the New York Fire Department went all the way to New Orleans to help with Katrina. And so this was all about paying it forward and them helping clean up after Hurricane Sandy. So just being along for the ride and being able to see how big their hearts are and just how much they cared. And knowing that my company, Southwest Airlines, was behind sending these guys up there to help make a difference up there was just reason number million why I love my job.
Reason number million. I love that. And I'm right there with you. There's a charity, a local charity that I'm involved with called Angel Charity for Children. And I don't think most people, unless it's touched their lives, realizes the financial devastation that can happen to a family, not just because of a disaster, but of a health disaster. And you talked about your involvement with Ronald McDonald House. And the reason why Angel Charity was started over 30 years ago is because the founder lost a son to cancer at 8 years old. She lived in Tucson. We have University Medical Center. She could go home at night or spend the night and go change clothes. And she started realizing the financial devastation for people that had to come from out of town when their kids had cancer. So our first fundraising event was to pay off the mortgage at the Ronald McDonald House in Tucson. So it's all connected. Aww. I know, it's a great story. So we have less than 2 minutes left, and I have to do a quick shout out for the guests we're going to have on, and then you'll get the last word. Next week, we have Rafe Sagarin, who happens to be a friend of mine, which is not his most noteworthy accomplishment, but he is the author of a new book called Learning from the Octopus. It was one of the best books I've ever read, and I don't say that on the air without meaning it, because it shocked me. It's how secrets from nature can help us fight terrorist attacks, natural disasters, and disease. And I look forward to that interview. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And Laurel Moffitt, what is the last word that you want to have about the marvelous Southwest Airlines and how to contact and stay connected?
Well, I just want to thank you again so much for having me on the show. It truly was a pleasure. And with the Ben's Bells opportunity, I truly believe it was fate that I was supposed to come speak in
Tucson. I do, too.
and just to get all of this rolling. So I'm truly grateful for that. And I encourage listeners to check out our One Report on southwestonereport.com. And if you're looking for green tips, you can check us out on our blog at blogsouthwest.com. And I'm always tweeting things about being green as well. So you can follow me on Twitter at Laurel SWA.
Okay, great. And thank you. And of course, the last word should be I fly SWA. And why don't you? That's my personal endorsement. Laurel, thank you so much. And bless everybody at Southwest for the good that you do for people and the planet. It's been a great show. Take care, everybody. Happy New Year.